Welcome, everyone, to the Advice Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Philip, and tonight's topic, the taboo of mental health. I've been covering a lot of news stories lately that have just been really very shocking, really very eye-opening. The things that these people are doing is very hard to really, for us to fathom or explain. Now, there are people, especially, I'm going to say, a section in the black community that will not, or think it's like a taboo subject for you to get checked out in the area of your mental health. Everyone goes to a doctor if they have some sort of sickness. If they have a cold, you go see a regular doctor. If you have a, you know, tooth pain, you go see a dentist. There's no shame in that. If you have a back problem or anything, it's no shame in going to a chiropractor if you're in some sort of pain. But what if you're having some sort of emotional pain or some emotional hurt? And right now I'm joined in by Miss Gabriella once again. How you doing, Miss Gabriella?
I'm fine.
And so we want to get into talking about this topic about mental health. Because now, Gabriella, have you seen some of the news clips I've put up here recently?
Yeah, I have. I saw the one with the ex-girlfriend that ran over her boyfriend, and the cases where mothers would kill their children. I mean, people are really going crazy these days.
They are going crazy, but there are diagnoses for people that's doing these sort of things, and they're not getting help. Now, why do you think they aren't choosing to get help?
I can't speak for any other community, but in the black community as well as the African community, a lot of the times, going and seeking mental health, like getting some problems for your help or whatever, is considered taboo, and it's considered like, oh, well, that's only something that white people do, or, it's embarrassing. Like, people, they kind of like to keep it on the hush-hush. I'm pretty sure everybody knows of, like, let's say if you had a cousin who had Down syndrome, but everybody would know that your cousin has an issue. But instead of putting him in the right, you know, special classes and things like that, sometimes you'll have a relative who will just keep their child at home and won't allow them to go outside and things like that because they just don't want everybody to know that there's something going on with them. And in thinking about problems such as, like, when people are suffering from depression and they're suffering from, you know, any other type of issue, a lot of the times people don't want to go and get help because either they're afraid of what people will think or they don't want that on their record or whatever. The problem is with all these people running around with these undiagnosed mental issues, I mean, look at Cat Williams, you know, all the things that he's been going through recently. You know, it seems like everybody is snapping these days. And the thing is, like, there's so much help out there. You don't even have to pay money. I mean, I went to counseling, and it was free through the church. So, honestly, I don't know why people don't want to go and get the help they need.
I don't really get it either, because it is a wealth of information out here that, you know, you can get to even halfway kind of diagnose yourself a little bit. I mean, there is tons of, I'm looking at, it really broken down into many different things. First of all, you have what they consider anxiety disorders, and they list them. It says acute stress disorder, panic disorder, agoraphobia without history of panic disorder, social phobia, specific phobia, obsessive compulsive disorder, which we know as OCD, post-traumatic stress, which a lot of the guys from the war have, and generalized anxiety. So that's just the anxiety disorders, and it's broken down to childhood, eating. They have mood disorders. They have, cognitive disorders, personality disorders, schizophrenia, other psychotic, that's what they say, psychotic disorders. And then they have substance-related disorders. So it's broken down into many, and I can honestly tell you, I've known people that fit the bill of a lot of these symptoms that they say in some of these diagnoses. Now, do you know about bipolar disorder?
Yes, I do. I actually have, in my family, we all have like we have hereditary mental health. And I know firsthand what somebody with bipolar disorder can be like.
Uh-huh.
And we also have a relative who has been suffering from depression for several years, and she hasn't really gone and gotten help for it.
And, now, most I love to talk to people that is depressed, and because at one point in time in my life, and this is some real talk, you know, I was dealing with so many emotional issues with which now I'm a man, and I understand now a lot of it was created, you know, by my parents, especially my mother, but it still had a lot of effect on me as a child, and I used to go through a lot of ridicule, you know, about my, you know, color. I used to go through a lot of ridicule about, you know, not being able to afford haircuts like I should. I used to go through a lot of ridicule about not having, you know, money and stuff like that. You know, and kids can be very, very, you know, mean. They can be very evil. And then you can go home and have some problems, and you can go into a depression, especially, you know, in the teenage stage. And I was so depressed at one point in time in my life, you know, that I know how it feels. It's like somebody put on, like, let's say, like a YouTube video, and it's like they're recycling that video over and over and over. And every time they recycle that video in your mind, you feel the pain all over again. It's like it's fresh in your mind every time it's recycled. You don't want to get up. You want to sleep. You feel the heaviness on your back. You feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. And it's like nobody really cares, you know, really at the end of the day, because they're dealing with their own life. And I was in so much of a deep depression, you know, at one point in time in my life, you know, I was even considering at the age of 15 to kill myself. Yes, I readily admit that, and I've said this in a video a long time ago, okay? But for me personally, you know, right when I was thinking that, like I said, I'm a little different in my beliefs and stuff like that, so people can say what they want to say. But in my heart, you know, when I had those thoughts, and when I really wanted to do that, you know, in my heart, I just felt, no, that's nothing for you to do. You need to just be a man and tough it out, and you'll get through it. And once I had that in my heart, I felt, what am I doing? I mean, why am I thinking this? Why these people not worried about me or whatever? So I got to shake this off. And once I realized all that and I felt that, you know, God himself was putting that in my heart, it's like I felt that heaviness get off my shoulders. You know, I dusted myself off, you know, and I said, never again will I allow myself to go down that path. And anybody that I can help with my experiences or help with anything that I know, that's what I want to commit my life to, is to helping people. I mean, in some way, form, or fashion. I say, I don't have much to offer the world. I'm not rich. I'm not anything. But I can at least offer what I've been through. Because I've been through a lot of pain in my life, too. And then really, I could have been diagnosed with depression at one point in time. You get what I'm saying? So I sympathize with people that's who are depressed. Because, I mean, it's some real stuff to them, whatever they may be depressed about. And, you know, go ahead.
That's what I totally understand, because I was in that condition earlier this summer. So it's not easy.
Let me ask you a question, you don't mind sharing. What event or events triggered that? Because it takes an event or events that's very traumatic to you emotionally to trigger that. This is from my experience with it.
Well, actually, in my case, my problems are hereditary. I suffer from, like, sometimes I'll go into bouts of depression. Sometimes I'll have panic attacks, anxiety attacks, then I have, like, certain social phobias, and I have a hard time trusting people. I don't know what, I think that's, like issues with paranoia and things like that, and so.
Well, before you continue on that, let me interject. About you not trusting people, that's a wise thing to do, because at this day and time, you can't trust no one, period, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to get out of that a little bit, but to be honest with you, a lot of my stuff is hereditary. So sometimes what will happen, like, to trigger for me to, like, go into an anxiety attack or something, or for me to go into a bout of depression, is oftentimes it's really just stuff that you do in your own mind. What I've had to learn how to do was this thing they call cognitive behavioral therapy, where you have to learn how to change your train of thought. A lot of the times when people, like, they'll be in their house and they start to worry about things, and then they start to panic, and then they can go into, like, an anxiety attack or a nervous breakdown. Oftentimes these kind of things are brought on by you thinking about things. Like, if you keep constantly having these negative thoughts, eventually it's gonna affect you. It'll affect your emotions, and then eventually, you know, you're gonna get hit by all this. Like, you'll just be so overwhelmed with all these emotions and all these things. But science has proven that usually when this kind of thing happens, is you'll be repeating the same 10 or 15 phrases in your head. Like, say, for example, you might be, like, if you're in high school and you're getting picked on, you're going to be like, oh, well, nobody likes me. I don't have any friends. Nobody understands me. They don't know how I feel. And you keep saying things like that over and over and over again. And if you also tell yourself that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, all these things eat away at your psyche. And through therapy, you're able to combat that negative self-talk. And every single time you hear these phrases in your head and you keep thinking things like that, you have to learn how to either change your, like, just convince yourself that what you're thinking is irrational, or you'll have to like, try to change your way of thinking so it doesn't get to those negative thoughts. And if you do feel a certain way, you should always try to get yourself out of that, or distract yourself, or, you know, it's not good to spend a lot of time by yourself. If you know that you're prone to depression and things like that, you shouldn't spend a lot of time alone and a lot of idle time, because that's when you're able to sit there and, you know, start imagining things. So there's a lot of things that you can do to help yourself out with mental health issues, but a lot of these things are free, and even if you, I wouldn't suggest looking online for help. I mean, you have to be careful if you sign up for, like, something like a message board, because there are some message boards that will actually make you worse. There's some people on there who are very sick, and I've seen people convince other people to kill themselves and things like that. And so what you can do is, well, what I did was I was going to church, and there was a guy that I had befriended, and he said, well, you told me that you're going through these issues. How about you, here's the number of the church counselor, and, you know, you can get evaluated, and you can go and start counseling sessions. And so I went in there, and I got diagnosed, and I've been going through counseling, and it's free, completely free. I don't have to pay anything, and I've been work through a lot of my problems. And, you know, even if you're not a religious person, you don't feel comfortable going to churches, you can go to like a site like meetup.com, and you can look for support groups, or you can, you know, you can just look for counselors in your area or therapists or things like that. Sometimes they'll have people who will do these things at, like, the like these community centers and things like that. They'll have some people that can provide help for you for free, so you don't always have to worry about spending money. To be honest with you, I really wish there was some type of law in place that would make people who are suffering from mental health issues go to get counseling, and it should be provided by the state.
That goes along with the Privacy Act. You know, it's like they can't make you go to the doctor if you have a cold. It's like kind of like one of those things. I mean, they're not going to do that. But, you know, something you were saying that was interesting, and, you know, I had some counseling classes as well, you know, back when I went to college. I had a, you know, section of that. And, you know, one thing I can tell you from personal experience is when you're dealing with depression and you got to figure out what's always making you depressed, and then you got to know how to replace those thoughts and replace those things that's bringing you down. For instance, if this thought that, well, you're not good enough, well, let's figure out what is it that's not making me good enough to myself. Is it something I'm doing in my overall personality? Is it my career? Is it just the way I make friends? What is it? Because it's going to keep coming back. It's not going to, because see, in my opinion, you're like, and this is how I feel. It's just the devil trying to destroy people. And, you know, if you can use depression to do it, well, by golly, it's going to do it. So when it came to me about, oh, you know, look at the color of your skin and you're dark skin and you're this and you're that, because that used to be an issue for me, believe it or not. Because, see, in the time period, the dark skin brothers wasn't in at first like they are now. It was the light skin like Prince. Prince and people like Prince and Elder Barge and Shalimar and all them dudes. I mean, you probably too, you know, a little bit younger to know that.
Yeah.
But you can you can research them, who they are. But back in that time period, they was in, and everybody wanted one of them high yellow Negroes. I mean, that's what they wanted. Dark skinned brothers like myself. Oh no, we were stuck out. Not until Jordan and them came in. That's when the dark brothers started really coming back. But anyway, so some of the females would be mean about, you know, my skin, and I used to hate that. But I had to replace it and say, wait a minute. I started watching shows like things of Black history, like Roots. I started watching men like Dr. Martin Luther King, Marcus Garvey, all different things like that to make me feel proud to be, you know, a Black man. Even stuff like Shaka Zulu or something that made me proud, you know, to who, you know, I am, or research more into some of the history of our people, you know, because if you pay attention to some things in this country, I mean, it'll make you real hate this skin color. So I started falling in love with my skin color. I'm happy to be a dark-skinned Black man. When it came to, oh, well, you don't have enough money, I said to myself that never in my life again will I allow myself to be poor. I will work as much as I have to work to make sure that does not happen. And say, just because people talked about me, I said, I will make sure I am a success, and I will not let it go. I said, to prove any and everybody that doubted me that who I am. You get what I'm saying? And that's how I guide myself, you know, and really I'm kind of, I get so obsessive with things like that. Like, you know, I just like, I'm constantly driving. I don't even have time to even have bad feelings, which I can honestly say I haven't been depressed for no reason for years. You know, now I broke down like when I went through my divorce, because all the stuff was coming with me, and I broke down crying, which I haven't done in a long time. You know, but sometimes you got to cry to let something out. I'm a man, I admit that. But I was losing everything. I lost my kids. I lost my house. I lost my car. I'm in an empty apartment with no furniture, sleeping on the air mattress, grown man like I am, losing it all behind something that I had nothing to do with. You know, so it got to a brother. But, you know, I had to shrug that off too, because it was trying to come back at that time period. I mean, imagine you work so hard and lose it all behind something you did not do at all.
Mm-hmm.
That would make you down, but I said, no, you know what? I said, I am not going to be down. I said, I'm going to show not only that person, I'm going to show the courts, I'm going to show everybody. I said, you messed the wrong brother. And really, that just fueled me. Like, when people try to say I'm not good enough, or people try to say I'm this or that, that just fuels me to prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how that would help you. You know, maybe when you have those thoughts, like to prove even yourself wrong, to show that, oh, you're this and you're that, then counter it. You know, counter it and find something positive you could take out of it. Because I understand what you mean by genetic. Yes, we all have genetic things. I call it maybe, some people call it genetic curses. I call it, you know, generic flaws that, yes, we are prone to weaknesses in certain areas. Like some families, they have, do what?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, we have, like, things with, like, imbalances in the brain. So it's not, you know, that's something that you're kind of born with. Even as a young child, I have young cousins who are already showing signs of having issues. So, but every family does have a struggle. Some people have alcoholism. Some people have obesity. Some people have mental health. Like, every single person has their own struggle, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And
sure they do.
And you don't even have to have any type of things in your family history. Like, depression can hit anybody.
Oh, sure it can. Oh, yes, it can.
And everybody who's gone through a really stressful situation or any type of trauma or things like that. So, you know, you got to be careful.
Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to start on the first disorder. Let's talk about borderline personality disorder. See, and the person I was trying to get on the show, she has the work. She actually has this, and she advocates for this a lot. But a borderline personality disorder, Phil, let's talk about this and see if you know anybody like this. It's a condition characterized by impulsive actions, rapidly shifting moods, and chaotic relationships. The individual usually goes from one emotional crisis to another. Often there is dependency, separation anxiety, unstable self-image, chronic feelings of emptiness, and threats of self-harm, let's say suicide or self-mutilation, This disorder is diagnosed when these behaviors become persistent and very disabling / distressing. Now, do you know anybody like that?
Yeah, actually, I do. Two people.
Yeah.
About five of them, so that's the funny thing. But ironically, none of these people have gotten help for it, so.
Good deal. But there's a lot of people that don't have gotten help, especially the part where they talk about the separation anxiety part. You know, like that story I put up with a woman had a boyfriend break up with her, and then she tried to run over him with the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got 12 years. But you know, the prosecutor, I don't know if you had saw that, had said 7 months prior she did the same thing. Now, that's a person that's possibly got borderline personality disorder with extreme separation anxiety. A man can't tell you he don't want to deal with you no more. Obviously, he's seen you wasn't wrapped too tight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of these women are having babies. And that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? I mean, some of these women are, you know, and men also, of course, not just women, are walking around, like I said before, mental patients. And they're not diagnosed. And that's bad. You know, like a lot of these, you know, stories I'm putting up with these single mothers, like the last one, where the woman drowned her 3-week-old baby. And say the baby was the devil and it was talking to her. I mean, it's story after story I'm seeing, and it's like, my God, I mean, that's what prompted me to want to do this show.
Mm-hmm. And it's getting really scary these days because, I mean, sometimes I fear for my life. I'm like, is today going to be my last day? Am I going to just be casually walking through Walmart and get shot, you know? Crazy things happen every single day, and it seems like there should be something done about this because, you know, a lot of people are being raised by these, you know, single mothers with mental health issues. And if you're a child and not only, you know, if you're raised with an abusive parent like that, somebody who has mental problems, you're going to grow up and have mental problems too. And then you might end up abusing your children. I mean, it is almost like it creates some type of cycle because, you know, you grow up in an abusive house, you abuse your kids, they grow up, they abuse their kids, you know.
Exactly. I mean, it's really not good. I mean, like the, you know, recent, you know, situation with the NFL player from the Kansas City Chiefs, Javon Belcher, you know, that he, you know, from the story, it's come out more since I put up a video, you know, said that he shot the woman eight times, I think, and then he went to the stadium and you know, kill himself, you know, even though he was talking to the coaches. I mean, something was wrong. Everybody's talking about these, you know, these concussions these players are getting and how it's affecting them. Because was it Junior Seau that killed himself a while back? He used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, if I'm not mistaken, or they were different teams. But, you know, some of these football players are killing themselves. I mean, but they dealing with issues also. I don't really – some people want to blame the hits. I mean, yeah, it may have something to do with it, but these guys' lifestyles, I mean, it's just everybody they trying to live up to this, you know, image, you know, which is very stupid. You know, I really don't get it. And it's a lot of problems because it's the truth. What people say is the truth. More money, more problems. I can tell you that when I was, you know, just starting out in life versus to now, I had a whole lot less more problems way back then when I was rubbing two nickels together all the time. I mean, I'm still rubbing two nickels together sometimes. But, you know, I mean, I was doing it a whole lot more back then. So it's the truth. You do have more money, more problems. You have the IRS at your throat. You know, you make a certain amount of money, IRS won't they cut? You know, then your family asking you for money, all this other stuff. So I'm pretty sure they have, you know, problems that could, because, I mean, think about it. If everybody asking you for money, what is that, you know, it would make you feel bad, like nobody actually care about you. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I understand what that means. I know exactly how that feels, actually. Because I actually have a family member who pretty much has always provided for the rest of the family. And it seemed like, I mean, when they were younger and like when all her siblings were younger, they didn't really treat her very well. But as soon as She got older and she started making money, and she's been able to, you know, send $300 here, $400 there, pay for a funeral, bail somebody out of jail. You know, how does that, you know, how would that make you feel? You know, they didn't want to talk to you. Your family members only want to call you when they want something. They never call you to say hello, or when you try to be a part of the family,
mm-hmm.
they treat you, they feel like, oh, well, you're stuck up and you think you're better than us and all this kind of things like that. I mean, eventually that's going to harbor, it's going to give you some feelings of resentment and things like that. And, I mean, that messes up the family dynamic because there will be one side that's bitter, one side that's resentful. And then that's why you see so many people, like, killing family members these days because, you know, a lot of times some people have to go through family counseling because if one person in the family has an issue, it ends up affecting everyone.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you this much. Out of psychologists and psychiatrists, the only one that I would say that I would talk to if I have an issue is a psychologist. You know, I mean, you know the difference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like they say the simple difference, one prescribes medication, the other one don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because to me, the one that just prescribed medication, and me personally, I just never agree with the medication because to me, it's like you're giving a person euphoria to mask the problem. You're not getting down to the problem. You're just doping them up, making them a legal dope head, and just tell them come back for their meds and talk to them. I just never agree with that because I've seen how people just get addicted to that medication and they don't get better.
It doesn't help anything. All it does is, I mean, might make you feel, give you a little bit of energy and make you feel a little bit happier. But once you're off the medication, I've seen it. Like, there's a huge difference. Like, you can't go one day without the medication, or you're gonna just end up acting crazy. And
yeah, they get. I work with
the root of the problem. It's like
uh-huh.
putting a Band-Aid over. You know, it's like if someone got their leg cut off and you put a Band-Aid on it. You know, it's not gonna do anything. It'll help you out for a couple seconds, but you know, you
and
can't put a Band-Aid over the missing limb.
And we know human
has to work through the problem.
Yeah, and we know human beings, they can get chemically dependent on things. And like for instance, I know this guy I work with, and he told me he have, you know, ADHD and all this other stuff he said, and he told me he's on Adderall, and I think he's on Adderall. And I watch him, like, when he takes that medication, what a monster at that. He pops the pill, drinks it. And he's like the happiest guy you ever see in your life. He's walking around here just floating on cloud nine, great mood. But when he comes off that medication, man, he gets this like pissed off look. I mean, he be hot, like just mad. I'm like, I said, man, you need to go take your pills. I mean, one time he told me, you know, well, you know, Philip, I'm just disgruntled. I said, you know what? I said, you talking like that? I said, you know what? Yeah, you gonna come shoot up the place? Let me know. So I'll just tell TJ so I can go home. You know what I'm saying? And I say, because y'all ain't about to die today, and you coming up here with an AK shooting everybody. See, I don't mess with him either. I don't pick on him. I try to be his friend. They got people that pick on him. I said, now, and I told him that. I said, y'all better stop picking on him. I said, if he come up here with an AK and start shooting, he coming after y'all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I said, shoot, I don't play with people like that that's taking medication. Oh, no, I'll be your friend. Shoot.
Exactly.
Were you
fair.
And when you come up there, that trench coat, you tell me, look, tomorrow I'll show up to work. I don't know what I'm telling you. Okay, thank you. I mean, for real. I mean, I don't play with people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, I got some people with some serious issues out here. And it's walking around and working around us at the grocery store, or, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, we were talking about this the other day when I went back home for Thanksgiving. We had this neighborhood guy. He was on crack, too. But, you know, he used to talk to himself. He used to always walk around and talk to himself. Well, the guy really was a, you know, a crackhead with a schizophrenic. That's really what he was. And he used to just be roaming the neighborhood. Now, you got a crackhead schizophrenic roaming the neighborhood. And now I think about it now. I said, my God, I mean, that guy could have done some damage. I mean, he liked one of my friends, this you know, girl in the neighborhood. And we was teasing her about it. Said, oh, yeah, he liked you and this and that. And she was like, shut up. All those other stuff, everybody's just laughing about it. But, you know, I mean, the guy had a fro, you know, a crazy-looking fro. You know, he stunk all the time. He was just in the streets. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, and this guy roamed the street. I don't know, you know, where he is to this day. You know, shoot, I don't know, maybe the guy did. I don't know the way he roamed the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that guy definitely met, you know, schizophrenic, you know, disorder. I mean, it's just bad.
Mm-hmm. And it's really scary when you see people like that walking around, because I've seen it too. And sometimes I'm like, I mean, there's little kids playing outside, and there's young girls out there, and a lot of these, I've seen a lot of these rape cases and these child molestation cases are caused by people who have mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's not even really safe to keep your kids outside anymore because of things like that. You have to worry about a bunch of different things. Another thing I wanted to mention was women, because I've seen a lot of guys do this thing where they'll tell a girl that, oh yeah, I'll be your man, you know, you'll be my girlfriend and stuff like that. And they say these things to these girls, knowing that these girls are unstable, just because they know that it'll be easy to get them into the bed. And then when they find out that they were being played, those are the ones that'll go and key your car and shoot up or slash your tires and burn your clothes and, you know, run you over with the car.
Yeah, but now, look, I'm gonna tell you something about now. You talk about these guys, okay? These guys aren't paying attention if a woman got some sort of disorder. These guys are paying attention to body types and can I get, you know, in the bed with this particular woman. They only find out after they take that step down that yellow brick road that when she starts chasing him and blowing up his phone and showing up at his job, like, this chick is crazy. But all before, she was crazy before, but you chose not to look at that because you were looking at her booty, and that's what you wanted. You got it. Now you're dealing with the problems that came along with the booty you got. That's what's the problem. So if you hitting a chick and leaving and she crazy to me, I don't feel sorry for you personally because you shouldn't be playing with that woman like that. I tell people, don't play with nobody's feelings, male or female, but especially female, because women are emotional naturally. I mean, they come here emotional, and you're playing with their emotions. They're going to have an emotional response. Now, that's something, I don't play with nobody's feelings. I don't do that. I tell them the truth. I tell them straight up. And move on. I've always been like that because I don't like nobody playing with me like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if more people try to treat others the way they want to be treated, things will work out a lot better for you. It's a good way to guide your life. If you just, I would want no chick telling me she want to be with me just to sleep with me, then all of a sudden I don't hear from her no more. Well, I don't want to treat a woman the same way either because, like I said, that woman – that one thing I could do her could be the stick that broke the camel's back, and now exactly. She turned into Fatal Attraction. That movie, Fatal Attraction. You seen that movie before?
No, I haven't. But
you need to watch that movie. That's an old movie with Michael Douglas. Oh, you need to watch that. Get that one, because they need to remake that because that chick was crazy. It's called Fatal Attraction. Watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listening, watch it.
I've seen it. I mean, I've seen it on the
news
hood edition. You know, Tam Quay will go and she'll have a bunch of kids by a bunch of men, go and shoot at people's houses and all kind of things. Like,
yeah, just like it's not normal to be having baby after baby with strange, you know, men. Just like it's not normal to be impregnating, you know, women. I mean, I've known guys that just get a kick out of impregnating a woman. I mean, you got a mental problem, sir. That's not normal, and you don't want to take care of it. You don't. I've had guys tell, like, I had a comment in my video I put up recently, and I was saying about how I was paying court litigation, and I had lost my car because of it during a divorce or whatever. You were like, I would pay my car. I wouldn't have paid no court litigation. I wouldn't pay nothing to women and this and that and the third. Yeah, and you know, his behind would have been in jail because that kind of lawyer that was fighting against me was one that I wouldn't even dare try to play with. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's like some of these guys, they just don't realize it. You know, some of these guys are too obsessive compulsive as well. You know, like, that's why I kind of wanted to, that, you know, I put up a video, I don't know if you've seen it, about a comment I saw, like, a white lady left on Facebook. See that video?
No, I haven't.
Okay, basically it was about a deal about, she was saying that black women say that, you know, white women want to act like they're black. And her deal was, well, black women wear blonde weave and blue contacts or whatever. So I talked about that, whatever. So in the comment section, there was a deal about, you know, weave, and they had a few sisters kept saying, well, you know, white women wear weave, but it's called hair extension. So, you know, they say to research it. So a brother like myself, I wanted to research it. So lo and behold, I put a video today, and I found it. And they have, you know, white women with hair extension channels. I mean, all on the same thing. So, you know, what I'm saying is some of these, you know, I know that some of these younger brothers, they too, in my opinion, obsessive with hair. And I'm like, why are you so obsessive with the women's hair? I mean, like, sometimes some of you kind of OCD about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like guys can have OCD as well. About, I mean, that's not normal to be, to me, it's not normal to always talk about one group of women. It's not all normal to 24/7 talk about hair, talk about this, talk about that. It's not normal to make hundreds of videos on YouTube to do that. Something is wrong.
Man, there's a difference between being passionate about something and just overdoing it.
Yeah, but it's also a part of you becoming obsessive as well.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, some people will, like, that's all they can ever point out or that's all they can ever think of. Like, it becomes the main focus if that's what if they become obsessed.
Yeah, I just never understand that, you know, and, But one thing, too, that a lot of people deal with, I'm trying to pull it up. Yeah, here we go. About the separation anxiety. A lot of people have separation anxiety. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you normally find this out at a breakup. That's usually
when they can't move on.
Yeah, I mean, and they were talking about like the symptoms of that is significant distress, worry, and fear at the thought of event or separation. You know, clinging to a parent, crying, throwing tantrums, refusing to participate in activities that require separation from the attached figure. You know, it's a fear of harm coming to the attached figure or self when separated. If they are separated, you have difficulty sleeping if the person's not there, persistent nightmares. They have avoidance, refusal, reluctance, and oppositional behaviors and attempts to prevent separation from coming. I mean, it's like they go crazy if they don't have the person next to them. Or, you know, they got some people, like you said, they can't sleep unless their person is there, or they're going to, you know, stay up all night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though it don't have to be an extreme form of separation anxiety, but some people, you know, a lot of people do have that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are things, these are the terms that need to be out there for people, you know, to know about. I mean, because we, you know, need to get this, like I say, this information out there in these terms so people could possibly, you know, get some help. Now, you know, if you think you got a problem, I mean, if you, like saying, you believe in the Lord or whatever you believe in, maybe your local church has, you know, a lot of times some free help. Or you can also, like I say, look on, you know, everybody use Google for everything else. Why don't you Google, you know, things in your city, you know, that can help you if you got an issue. They got a lot of free services out there that'll help you, you know, if that's what you need, or free counseling.
Like if you're a student and you go to school, maybe if you're in high school or in college, a lot of times they'll have people on campus or at the school that can help you out. So
the main thing I'm – go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, there's no excuse to not do it. I mean, I would rather go, and I don't have any problem admitting that I go to counseling. I don't care. Like, I'm doing this for me. I think it's better to go out and get some help instead of sitting there snapping one day and going and shooting up your job or killing your family or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be sitting in jail talking about, oh, my God, I murdered my child. What did, you know what I'm saying? And now you're sitting in some state oranges. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you could have fixed the problem a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't make a bit of, you know, sense. But some people, you know, don't really have a support system either, you know, to encourage them to get the help.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, it's something you have to do for you, because in my case, I had been, I had, like, a lot of problems, and I've been, like, almost going through depression my whole life, you know. I've been, like, really just messed up, and my family didn't want me to go. I kept saying, Mom, I want to go to counseling. I want to go to counseling. I want to go to counseling. And it's like, no, you should. You don't want that on your record, or you don't want people to think you're crazy. Well, I never went to counseling, so you shouldn't go. And I was constantly being told no. And it wasn't until that I was an adult and I was on my own, I was able to do it. So it's really hard to go out and get help if you, you know, if you don't have any transportation or you don't have anybody to who's going to back you up and who's going to encourage you. Because when you're going through that, you know, you do need someone to help you out. You need to have some type of support, because, like, opening, like being able to open up your heart and stuff and telling all the problems that you have, it's a very painful experience. This is like, it's like bloodletting, you know. You get cut, mm-hmm. and you have to let it go out. And
exactly.
when that's happening, it's very traumatic. And if you don't have any real friends or you don't have any family that you can lean on, it's scary.
Now, you say your mom was trying to prevent you from going, and you keep saying about going on your record. I mean, you're talking like this is a criminal record. I mean, what do you mean by going on your record?
Like, let's say if you went to the hospital and you got a dish. Well, I didn't go to the hospital, so they don't even have records. But if they got, like, an official diagnosis and they were able to see that you have a bunch of problems, some jobs might be like, oh, well, you checked your record and it shows that you have panic disorder or you have anxiety and you have this, you have that. I don't know if jobs are able to do that, but, you know, sometimes that could be a reason not to hire someone because they might be able to create.
Your medical diagnosis, I think that would be protected under the that HIPAA Act. I mean, like, cause most jobs that I've ever went on, they want to know if you basically, you know, are a drug head, if you have a criminal record, or, you know, or they make you do a physical to make sure you can do the job. But, you know, as, well, yeah, one person typing up what it is. HIPAA, yeah, I know the initials, but, you know, I know it's the one that protects people from getting your private records, you know, and, like, why would they want your private records on your diagnosis? You get what I'm saying? I don't really get that. I mean, it has nothing to do with, you know, now, if you're on medication and it comes up in your, you know, drug test and you tell them, listen, I'm on this medication, they're going to ask why. Then it's going to come up, well, I'm on this medication because I've been diagnosed with this. That's the only way they would have to find out. Other than that, they shouldn't have to, you know, know. A person typed in the chat, they say they have a sibling who needs some help. And, okay, well, person in the chat room, what's going on with them? Because I'm just kind of reading it, what's in the chat room. They're typing as we speak. That would be the only way they should know. Other than that, you're protected. I mean, for people knowing your personal business like that. Unless, like I say, unless you're taking medication. Or you open your mouth and tell somebody, which... okay, this person type... so you have someone who needs help. They haven't been out in 8 years. They completely recluse. Now, why... Let me ask you a question. The person is typing that. What is the reasoning why they... aren't leaving the home? What's the reason they're telling you that? So, Gabrielle, I'm reading out the chat room. This person is typing some stuff, and I'm just trying to put it out there. Have you heard anybody doing that? That's just not leaving the home, being a recluse?
Actually, I was doing that. So when I was going through depression, it got to the point where I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to, like, all I did was literally for 8 weeks, all I did was I only left the house like maybe once every 2 weeks just to get food or something. I almost starved because I didn't even leave. Like, I just would lay in the bed, cry, didn't want to talk to people. You know, it was really a really scary time. And so that person might be suffering from depression.
Well, a person that's typing in the chat room, it sounds like they've been dealing with very deep depression for the past, you say, 8 years. I mean, this person's typing that they sleep all day.
Sleep all day, don't take care of themselves, don't groom, you know, don't groom themselves, don't clean up the house, and they end up having clothes and food everywhere and haven't bathed in a week, hasn't changed their clothes, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely depression. Yeah, they're saying they come out only when they are starving out of their room and they are 26 years old. So it sounds like this person is suffering depression for a very long time. yeah, oh yeah, that's definitely depression. I mean, you know, Gabriella saying it, you know, hey, I know about that. Now, the way to get help, the first of all, it's nothing we can do or even you can do to force them. You have to try to talk to them to get help. I mean, to find out, you know, why are they staying in the room so long? I mean, what is it? I mean, somebody that can possibly talk to them, maybe you can get somebody professional to come to your home to talk to them or wherever they live at if they want help. Gabriella, they're asking, so where do we start? Because they're trying to get the person help.
Well, it depends on your preferences. A lot of the times you can look for, like, free pastoral or, free counselors from churches. Or you can look around for some type of, you can go on, like, meetup.com and look for, like, depression support groups. You can go on, get on Google and look for free counseling in your area. There's a lot of things out there. Sometimes they have just different. You can also look for therapy and things like that. You can sign them up for yoga. There's a lot of things that you can do. I don't know where you live, so I can't give you any. I can't really, give you a lot of advice.
Well, this person had asked, which I'm gonna tell them something. They asked, what do they say to the person? Well, I don't know your relationship with the person at all. They say they're in Illinois. They didn't say what city, but they're in Illinois. Now, I don't know your relationship to the person that you're dealing with. I don't know if they're your cousin or your friend. I don't know who they are. They're your child. I don't know. So depending on your relationship with them, it's kind of hard to say what to say to them. Okay, they're a sibling. Okay, good. Well, you need to talk to your sibling and say, listen, hey, we need to talk. I love you. They're in Chicago, actually, Gabriella. I need to talk to you. I said, listen, I'm concerned about you. I love you. I don't want you to go and die in that room. You get what I'm saying? Now, also I'm getting another piece of advice by, good friend of mine, Dr. Grady here. She said that I would start by calling your local mental health services, get their advice, and start a point so when you go to them, you have a plan and facts. And which that sounds pretty good. So intelligent one who's typing, that's some good advice right there. But me personally, I still would talk to him. I say, look, I love you and I care about you, and I don't want you dying in that room or dying in this household. You're not keeping up yourself. Well, you wasn't always like this. I mean, it is scary. It's scary, but some things in life you got to face, head on, even if you're scared. I mean, put it like this, you don't want in your life. They're like, man, I should have done something, and I didn't. You don't want to have that regret. At least try your best, and if it fails, at least you can live it with, I tried. Because if something happened to them and you did not try, you would beat yourself up every day to say, I didn't even try to help my sibling at all. I could have. I could have done this. I could have did that. You don't want to live with them shoulda, woulda, couldas of life. You know what I'm saying? So try to do your best. Try to, like I said, Dr. Grady was saying, call the local mental health services, get their advice what to do. Also try to speak to them yourself and go from there. Okay, they said they always been quiet, introverted, and emotionally unstable. Okay, if they're very intelligent, well, if that's the case, yeah, you're going to have to get some definite help if they're emotionally unstable because you don't know how they're going to respond to you. I'm pretty sure they're very intelligent, and I'm pretty sure they're really smart. I don't doubt their intelligence. Just because you have, some sort of emotional condition or disorder doesn't mean you're unintelligent. It's just you just got something else going on at the time. But, yes, I think you should do that. You need to get in contact if you want to help them, because, like I said, you don't want something to happen to them, and you feel like, wow, I didn't even try to help them at all.
Because you can end up messing yourself up if you if something happens to them and, you tried your best and something happens to them, you shouldn't blame yourself because sometimes you can try your best to try to help somebody, but if they want to stay a professional victim, there's nothing you can do. I mean, I have a family
That's
member
true.
Who's like that. She's been suffering from depression for years, since I was a child. And she's always been taking medication, and she's been on this stuff for, 20 years? And she's just been completely unstable, couldn't keep a relationship, you know, would go into bouts of depression where she wouldn't leave her room for years. And we tried to say, okay, go get some help, go get some help, go get some help. But she didn't want to listen. She would rather, she's so, like, she just likes being the oh, woe is me and having a pity party and be like, oh, well, I'm depressed and, you know, everything's going wrong, I'm not happy. And she'd always would like to just be that one person everybody would pity. That some people, I mean, some people would just like to stay a victim. They don't want to help. So sometimes you just have to say, well, that's, you know, you have, you can try your best, but if they don't listen, you know, that's really up to them if they're an adult. I mean, you have to, that's a decision you have to make for yourself. Either you sit there and you stay stuck, or you go out and get the help that you need.
Now, the person that's writing is Intelligent One. Or do they want any kind of help, or do they reach out any and say, you know, I need help, but I don't know how to do it? I mean, what is it that, you know, what's their position? And you say they're quiet and introverted and emotionally unstable, but, like, what, you know, do they want any kind of help? Because, you know, it's the truth. If you don't want help, nobody can't force you. Okay, you said food. I'm not getting you on that. You say they just come out to eat. Okay, when they come out to eat, I understand that. Yeah, you say it's strange. I get it. The human body got to eat. So do they ever discuss it to you, like, do they want some sort of help, though? That's what I'm trying to find out, because it's the truth. Gabriella said you got to, the person got to want help, too, because they can't force you unless you get them committed. That'd be the only thing that, you know, and you'd have to go to court order to get them committed. So they don't say they want help at all. So if they're that bad, like I said, you're going to have to talk to the, you know, the local mental health services there. And if they're that bad, they may have to, you know, take them in. I don't know, but I don't know if you want to go that route. I mean, in that situation, would you think they take them in, Gabriella?
It depends on how bad it is. It really just depends on the circumstances, because there's some people who are just depressed and they'll just stay sad. They won't do anything. But then there's other people who, you know, after they kill somebody, you go and you look at their diary and they're over here plotting people's murders and stuff. So it really depends on the circumstance. Like, if it's getting to the point where they start to show signs of antisocial, like they start to act antisocial, as in, like, they seem to just have some type of deep hatred for people and they just seem to have some type of desire to hurt someone, that's when you need to go and get some outside sources to come and help you out, because that's not safe. There's some people who, like, there was a case where there was a girl who, she had suffered from antisocial disorder. She was a very smart girl. I mean, she was really smart, but, you know, she was a bright student. You know, she had great grades in school, but she was practicing self-harm, and she was, you know, they checked her diaries, and she just was talking about she wanted to kill somebody just to see the life go out of them. And, you know, nobody went and got help for her. And they knew that she was, you know, there was a lot of things wrong with her, but they didn't do anything.
Well, and, you know, the person was typing, you know, they said that they don't, you know, their sibling don't think they realize that they are sick and that they need an evaluation, which is true. So, like I said, the best thing for you to do, if it's that serious as you typing, because it seems like a very serious situation that you're typing here, you need to, like Dr. Grady said, get with the local mental health services in, you know, your area. Go to Google, type them up, you know, in the Chicago area, and they can help you. I really know they can. I mean, but what I was saying earlier, not about the person feeling responsible, but the fact is, it's like when you know, could do something but don't, then something bad happens, you're going to feel like, why didn't I at least try? I mean, that's anything that we do in life, whether it's our kids, whether it's our relationships, or, like, relationships are the easiest one to talk about. You know, like, when you lose a relationship and you start thinking about it, you're going to be like, why didn't I try to spend more time with her? Why didn't I try to, you know, tell her I love her more? Why did I, you know, just being stupid, you know, and regretting all that stuff when you should have did it and now you lost a relationship? You know what I'm talking about? Stuff like that. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, I'm just kind of saying it's little similar. You want to try your best. That way, if you lose it anyway, at least you know, hey, I lost it and I did my best, you know. So I see the person, you know, still typing here. You know, which, like I said, this, you know, I like this, you know, discussion, like it says, you know, it's been a, you know, definitely a good discussion. The person that's typing, it'd be nice if you call in. That way we can kind of talk to you a little bit. The call-in number is 347-996-3350. That way you don't have to type in. There's no embarrassment here. We all family here. If, you know, you decide to call in.
You don't have to use your name, so.
No, you don't have to use your name. Like I said, I don't know your name. It's completely anonymous and everything. If they want to, you know, if you like to call in. It'd be good. That way we can discuss it with you a little bit better, you know, and we can hear how things are going. They just type, well, one of their parents is now deceased, and before the other is gone, they just want to see him get some assistance. Okay, so that's what they're at with their situation. So they have their sibling, and they've been basically secluded, you know, by choice, except coming out the room, except to eat, and they starving. And everything, so it pains them to see this, and one of their parents died, and now they do have a parent that wants to see basically their child, you know, be better. I mean, so that's where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just trying to find everything we can to help you, because sometimes, you know, even seeing things like that. It takes a toll on you as well.
That's why I'm saying that. But I mean, I said earlier that sometimes in situations where there's like a domestic violence, or there's some type of issue within the family, like you have a family member who's alcoholic or something like that. Sometimes you, like, the whole family will have to go in and get a group counseling done, because when one person is suffering, then the whole family suffers, because they're gonna, you know, they're gonna maybe lash out on a family member, or they might hit them, or, you know, the kids grow up with having a traumatic childhood, and, like, the whole family dynamic is just messed up. So sometimes we might have to go and get the whole family checked out to see what's going on and how to fix it.
Yes. I mean, because, like I say, it does take a toll, no matter if you're dealing with, like I said, a mental, you know, illness with a family member, or even a sickness. It does take a drain on you, you know, and sometimes you need somebody to, you know, to talk to you to get your strength up sometime as well. Because if you go down, how are you going to help them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen it so many times. Like, you have, it's ringing. They say it's ringing, but I don't see it. Are they calling are you calling 347-996-3350? Because you're not coming up on my switchboard. I don't see you. I don't know if you're calling the right number. I'll put it back in. Because they say they're calling the show, but let's see, 996-3350. I'll put the number back in just to make sure. So you should come up in the switchboard. But, yeah, anyway, so it's just very hard, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just to deal with these sort of things, and all kind of people are dealing with issues. And I don't know why, what's going on? Why they can't place a guest in the screen room? The person keeps telling me it's ringing, but I don't see anybody coming up my switchboard except, you know, Gabrielle. I see you here, but nobody else is coming through.
Mm.
That's strange. That is strange. I don't get what's going on. Hey, let me see. Well, most people turn to alcohol and drug. He hasn't yet. Well, that's good. That's good if he hasn't turned to it. Person in the chat room, if you have, I don't know if you're at home, if you have Skype, you can also, like, get on the show and call through Skype as well. That'll get you through. I know it's sometimes a little bit faster. Well, I'm glad he don't, boy. You know, he got to kind of leave the room to get the alcohol and drugs, though, to get that sort of thing. So, you know, if he's not leaving the room just to barely eat, then, you know, well, that may be, you know, a good thing for him. If you don't want him on alcohol and drugs, I mean, he's never been in trouble, and that's good. That's good he's never been in trouble. You know, you don't need trouble with the law. I mean, who does, you know? Yes, it's just sad to watch a family member deal with something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, anyway, so, any of your friends at school, I mean, are they dealing with any issues that you know that just, oh, that girl got a problem?
I mean, in my personal experience, I had one friend who was suffering from depression, and I think it was a form of separation anxiety. With her boyfriend, she had a boyfriend who was very abusive to her. He didn't ever hit her, but it was more of an emotional abuse. Like, he would cheat on her a lot, and for some reason, she wouldn't leave him. And, you know, that's the pattern in these abusive relationships. Like, the guy will apologize. They'll, you know, have really violent arguments. And then that would lead into, like, you know, they would lead into the breakup. And then
give me a second, Gabriella. Caller 2813, you're on the show. You got a question?
How you doing? I'm just calling in because, you know, I just want to give a little story about myself. And I feel like I felt like I had, like, a little mental issue, a little small mental issue whenever I was growing up and development of coming up, overcoming that.
Mm-hmm.
As I grew up, and you know, as a child, you know, I had like a lot of ear infections, and so, you know, that way I didn't develop a speech at an early age, and so you know, my parents, you know, they always had to take me to the doctor because, you know, I was always having ear infections, and then, like, they was noticing, you know, I wasn't really talking. So, you know, I had a lot of, you know, auditory issues where I couldn't hear, you know, to develop my speech. And so, you know.
Give me a quick second, sir. Caller 2385, you on the show, but I'll get to you next after him, okay?
Okay.
All righty.
And so, you know, once I had surgery, you know, it was about like when I was about 4 years old. And so, after that, then I was able to be able to start developing my speech a little bit more. And also, I was able to hear. But, you know, I still couldn't really talk, you know. And also, I was, like, very, you know, soft-spoken person. And, you know, kind of like, as I was growing up, you know, I had to go to, like, speech therapy. So, like, kids used to also, like, ridicule me, you know, kind of like, you know, have my spirits down, you know. Because, you know, I wasn't really a talkative person because, you know, I didn't have that speech. And also, I was like, you know, couldn't really speak as fluently as everybody else. You know, every time I was talking, I kind of like would stop and, you know, had to think about what I was about to say and then say it. Kind of like how, like, a young child is, you know, developing their speech. But, you know, I was a little bit older. And so, you know, thank goodness, you know, the school system was there to, you know, because my parents, you know, they was okay, but, you know, we couldn't afford no, like, professional help as far as, like, speech. And so, you know, thank God the schools are there to help me develop that, you know, at a faster pace. And so, but, you know, I was very shy all the way up until probably about 10th grade, you know. And I guess, like, the development where I kind of had gotten more, like, confidence was, you know, I was always, like, in the books, you know, I was always reading. And also, I was in sports a lot, but I was also, like an introvert. So, you know, but the reading and also, you know, just being in the books and just having a lot of knowledge. And so, you know, just having a lot of confidence within myself, I was able to start, like, speaking up and, you know, I was performing well in school, and so that carried me all the way, you know, to college. And then when I really got out of it was whenever I started getting into leadership. And that's when I started being a part of organizations in college, because I still was like a real shy, introverted person. I still am today, but I'm a whole lot better than, you know, what I was like growing up. And, you know, I'm very shy. But being forced into a leadership role where I had to take, you know, the fold and being able to speak up as a person in front of a lot of people, you know, broke me out of my mold. Took me out of my comfort zone.
And that's really good that you stepped up into a leadership role and you've come a long way. And so basically what you're saying is that you can overcome, you know, issues that you have even from your childhood, and it sounds like you replaced it with positive things, correct?
Yes. And also it's like support also. And that's the thing I have about with a lot of my people, you know, if you see like, or you see that, you know, kids growing up or have these things that they're dealing with, people just don't stop to, you know, say, pick them up and try to talk to them and see what's going on with them and want to address it at right then and there. And but they just want them to keep going on. Like, they just care about themselves. And so, and so, you know, like,
mankind is naturally selfish, though. I mean, if you just research it, mankind is naturally selfish. I mean, that's why.
I understand that. But, you know, it also with my parents, though. You know, I had both my parents there, and they were very caring. And so, you know, and I've heard stories where, like, teachers would even recommend, like, students taking drugs and stuff like that, like, you know, that Adderall for kids instead of, you know, the parents, like, just dealing with it. Because, you know, thank goodness my parents, you know, they didn't want to put me on any type of drugs or anything like that to stimulate me. You know, they just wanted me to be a kid and to grow as a person. And so,
okay. You know,
drugs, I feel like drugs can, you know, hurt people more than they do good.
And I definitely feel the same way about that. And like, I, you know, I'm definitely glad that you come a long way. And, you know, I need to get to, you know, I have another caller, but I appreciate you calling and definitely, you know, letting us know this encouraging, you know, story that you had. And I thank you for calling.
Okay, no problem.
Hey, thank you.
Have a good night. And you have a really good show. I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Now, caller 2385, you on the show?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just in the chat room. I basically, you know, saw your title, the title of the show, and decided that I was going to listen in because in our community, it is sort of, I'm going to call it taboo or more of a hush-hush subject. It is beginning to be a little bit more of something that we discuss, but you know, people don't really talk a lot about that. Well, in my situation.
Hold on, ma'am. Hold on a second. Before we go any further, you said what community? What community are you talking about?
The African American community. Or the
Okay. All right. Now we're talking. I just don't like to assume anything. That's why I ask questions.
Okay. You're right, and I should. But sometimes, like, people get upset when you make generalizations, and I'm not trying to make a generalization. This is actually my observation that...
Oh, it's the truth. It's the truth. We in the blind community, we don't talk about it. You're right.
Right. So, my experience has been that, let's see, both of my parents were very successful in terms of their career. They were, like, first-generation college students, and like I said, they were successful. They did well for themselves. And, I only have one sibling, and he's younger. We're, like, complete opposites. So, like, I'm the extrovert. He's probably more the introvert. And we saw it early on. But, like, you know, I mean, nobody, I don't think that it's a bad thing for you to be introverted. It's okay as long as you function and as long as you are able to, you know, be successful in the things that you're doing.
Well, let me back you up. Let me back you a second, ma'am. What do you say about your dad?
No, I was saying that both of my parents, they were successful, but my sibling was an introvert. He was like complete, like when I say a complete, I'm talking about recluse, like, you know, going around, out the door, you know. And then by the when he finished high school, it like really showed. I mean, he finished high school, and then like he wouldn't come out like for days. Like, you know, I would ask my mom, "Did you see, you know, did you see my brother?" You know, and she'd be like, "No, he hasn't been out." And then it got extreme, like, don't come out for days, stay in the bed, sleep, don't eat for days, you know, lose, like, dramatic weight. And then, like, sometimes, like, you know, we could have a conversation as a family, and I would notice, like, he would always start crying, like, just start crying and get really emotional or, you know, it just go, like, to the extreme. Like, wait a minute. Like, did you just, you know, you just kind of whomped out on us right quick. You know, we were all having a conversation, and you got emotional, you know, like, extreme emotional. We're like, the conversation has to break down. We can't talk anymore. So I started noticing, like, these types of things were happening, and I would beg my mother to, like, you know, just try to get some help. But I don't really think that parents all the time want to accept that it's anything wrong. Like, nobody wants to think it's anything wrong with their child. Everybody's child is perfect. But,
exactly.
Now, you know, he's 26. Very intelligent. I mean, like, extreme. You know, probably needs to, you know, maybe go to the military or do something, do anything. Like at this point, we're like, just do anything. Like, you can do anything. Like, just go work at a local restaurant. We don't even care. Just leave the house every day. Go do something. But, like, it's not happening. Has, like, these really, really, really strong views about and high morality. You know, like, I'm going to wait till I'm married, you know, to, you know, have sex and that type of thing. Like, that's great. I think that's wonderful. I'm not condemning that. I think that's wonderful. But I'm just concerned, like, it's the extremeness that I'm concerned about. Like, I don't want you to do anything that is going to result in it messing up your life. I'm just saying, like, it's the extremeness that I'm concerned about. So we're at the point now where I'm just like, you know, okay, I don't think my mother can get him any help. So I'm just like, let me try to do what I can, you know, like, while she's still here, because I can't even imagine what I would have to do if something happened to her. That bothers me, seriously.
And when somebody's depressed like that, you know, they can, like, I'm just keeping it 100. They can, you know, do something out of character or do something violent. You just never know. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, let me tell you something. I had, you know, when I was in the hospital ministry at my church, you know, one time I went to the Harris County, you know, mental hospital, and there was many people there. And I had to sit down and talk with a brother that's there and was telling me about how much he was depressed. And he was actually there. His mother was there. And stuff like that, and he was staying there for a little while to get help. I mean, at the mental hospital, because he was put. His mom told him the situation with him. They evaluated him. And they put him there. You know, but you know,
We've never dealt with having to get per se anybody an evaluation. And it's hard to tell a person, like, I think you need to be evaluated, but like. Like, nothing has changed for him in, like, years. And I'm just like, no, something should change for you, you know, in 8 years. In 8 years, like, you haven't come out, you haven't gone anywhere, you haven't done, like, something should change. I don't care what it is. You know, your clothes, they should change. You know, you should acquire a skill, like, something, anything, but it's not happening. It's like something dramatic or traumatic must have happened, and he just is not, he's not responding.
Well, something had to happen, you know, right before that, you know, something had to happen to him or a series of events happened to him, because a person is going to wake up one day and going to stay in a room for 8 years. I mean, so do you know any event that major happened?
Say that one more time.
I said, do you know of any major event that happened?
Wait, I hear the young lady in the background, because she said something. What did you just say? What was that?
Was he being picked on in school? Because a lot of the times, you know, the kids that are really bright end up being the social outcasts, and those are the ones that people pick on the most, and that does take a toll on them.
Yeah, And I think that was an incident, like right before he graduated. I'm glad you mentioned that because that may have been it. He was very quiet, and somebody, like this is strange that I'm even going here, but I'm going to tell what happened exactly. He was in the lunchroom at, like, a local high school, and he was very quiet. He had just gone to a new school, and somebody decided that they wanted to test him after a period of time of him being there. And they actually, like, they threw some food at him. And I just remember the incident ending in him beating the crap out of somebody that was, like, extremely bigger than him. He had never done anything like that, like, in life. I'm talking about, like, never got in trouble, nothing. But everybody at the school was proud of him because he was told, I mean, when I say he is a complete introvert, I mean that. Like, extremely handsome, 6'5", very good looking, but does not believe that, you know, very to himself, has never had a girlfriend, that type of thing. And I'm like, dude, you're wasting your life. Am I mad? But I can't say anything because it's like, what do you say to a person like that? But I just remember that incident. Everybody was proud of him because he had never said anything to anybody. And it just, I guess it upset him that somebody would do that to him because he just doesn't bother anybody. He's always been a good kid. But now it's like, okay, enough of this good kid stuff, you're grown. You got to do something. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where we are now. It's really painful. It really is. It is one of the most painful things because, you know, I am about a decade older than him. And, you know, I see him and I want the best for him. I know what his life could be. But it can't be anything unless we get to the bottom of what this problem really is.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
You say only one of your parents are living, so your father passed away?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have any maybe uncles or some other men in your family that could possibly that know the situation with him?
It's unfortunate because all people do is ask me, you know, like how he's doing. But, like, we got to get past that stage. You know, people say, oh, how's he doing in passing or at an event? But now, like, it's like, okay, we can't afford to still be at that point anymore. We've got to move past how's he doing because, I mean, if every year I'm telling you the same thing.
Okay, well, the question, where I'm getting at, this is where I'm getting at with you. Like, have you talked to the men? Have you talked to the men in your family that you could trust, or you know, the men who know? You know, have you told them the full situation?
No, I think they're aware. They know.
You think, but do they fully know?
Yeah, they know.
Okay, they know he's been in the room for the past 8 years. They know that.
Yes, they know.
Okay, have you asked them to, like, can you come talk to him and help him? Because to me, it sounds like some men need to get involved with this. And, like, you know,
yeah.
Say, hey, son, you know, come on, you can come out of this room. You know how men are, you know, because he may respond a little different, you know, to maybe your uncles or your cousins or whoever else that's in your family. Say, hey, come out of this room, and we need to talk, and this and that and the third. And if because, you know, if he started that crying in front of a man, he's like, boy, what's wrong with you? Like, you know, men can just say a certain thing to, you know, another man more than your sister can or your mother can. That's why you say your father passed away, so I would have said him. But, you know, maybe the next man, maybe it's an uncle, maybe it's a cousin, or some man in your family, you know, that you can turn to and say, hey, I really need you to talk to him and see what's going on and get him out of that room.
I think maybe my best bet might be somebody at my local church because we attend church here. Maybe I can talk to someone in pastoral care. I'm not going to say maybe.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to someone in pastoral care.
That's a good step.
And see if they would be willing to come here. We could start, you know, just with the step of coming out and talking. Like you say, let's just talk openly. Can we talk freely? You know, about our concern, because it is a concern now. You know, like I say, after so many years, you know, year one, you're kind of like, oh, well, you know, they'll get it together. Year two, maybe this is a fad. You know, this will pass. But, like, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, we just, they're like, okay, all right, this is getting.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a plan to me, and I don't think the men of the church will turn you down because they're doing the work of the Lord. They're not going to turn the other flock down. So,
right,
you know.
Right.
So, I think that's a good step. I think that is a good step. They can pray, you know, get them to pray over the house. I mean, you know, if you're Christian, I'm going to talk to you like a Christian. Get them to pray over the house and rebuke them demons, too. Because that ain't nothing but a devil trying to you know, keep him down.
Exactly.
So give them to pray over that house, get that anointing all, and put it all over the doors and everywhere else in that house. And you go from there. Get some prayer going in that house.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. And like I say, I'm not minimizing it because I realize, like, yeah, that we got to do something right away. Like, it has to be a sense of urgency at this point because I'm just, you know, you just don't want to keep seeing people have birthdays and, you know, they're not functioning.
Well, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to get God involved, right? You're supposed to be turn to Jesus for all your problems. Well, there you go. Get him involved. That's all I can say, if you believe in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like I said, would your plan sound like a good plan? So I would do it. Talk to the men of the church.
Yep, I thank you for listening, and I thank you for the advice. And you all have a good evening.
All right, you too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I mean, you know, hey, you know, a lot of people dealing with a lot of problems, Ms. Gabriella. It's you know, we think we got problems, but, you know, our problems sometimes are very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, it'd be hard for me to watch my sibling, you know, just in a room like that.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard.
Yeah,
that's
really
the
time, is.
Especially when they're being stubborn, too. That's when it's the most difficult. When it's okay, when you try to talk to them and they just don't want to listen, and they
mm-hmm.
rather just be the victim. So, really, sometimes you have to not let that. You have to learn how to not let that get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have an aunt who's been suffering from depression for years, and we try not to let it bother us because we've done all we can do. At this point, it's been like 20 years, and she's been messed up forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we try. You know, we try to encourage her to come to family events. We try to encourage her to get out more. They took her to get her hair done and, you know, just try to make her feel better about herself. But she just wants to just sit there and have a pity party. So you have to, sometimes you have to learn to just be like, oh, well, you know, we've done all we can do. But, you know, at this point, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. If they don't want to help themselves, sometimes you just have to let them stay that way. It has to get to the point where it's like drug addiction. You have to let it. It has, but the person has to want to change before they can.
Exactly, and that's you know, that's what we all. That's anything in life. You know, if we want to change, you know, we can. I mean, but we have to take the first step in having. You know, like I said before, I heard a pastor say, you got to have that want to. You know, at that want to, you can do it. You know, I mean, you reach out to somebody and say, hey, can you help me? Somebody eventually will help you. And, you know, but you know what? This show has been, you know, very, very, you know, good and informative. And, I'm glad we put on this show tonight because, you know, this information definitely needs to go out there. You know, we got the weekend coming up and everything. Shoot, you got what's going on the weekend, you know, before we wrap this show up?
I'm supposed to be, well, Friday, I'm going to a church Christmas party, and then on Saturday I fly out, so I won't be in Africa until Sunday. So,
oh, okay.
It's going to be like a 24-hour day of traveling.
Really? Oh, what country are you going to in Africa?
I'm going to Ghana. Well, including the sitting around in the airport waiting for the next flight, that's going to be pretty much a full day.
Okay.
Yep.
Sure, that sounds good. I probably need to go over there one day and see how it is and be like, yeah, my brother done made it to Africa.
I'm actually thinking of doing some type of like showing like, well, it's not going to be too hard to make some videos with pictures in them just so you guys can see what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. I know if I went to Africa, I would make videos of the brothers and sisters. I wouldn't care. I talk to everybody.
I mean, I was thinking about doing that, but I didn't want my channel to be the African channel, if that makes any sense. I kind of want to keep my channel on one.
I see where you're going with yours. I see where you're going, which is a very successful actually avenue you're going to, actually. So yeah.
I don't want to post a bunch of videos of me in Ghana, and then people be like, oh well, we want to see more, and we want to see you talking to people, and we want you to talk about being African, and I'm like, I don't want that to be the focus of my channel.
Like I said, I see you going more tutorial, which, you know, you're doing pretty good with that. So, you know, I'll keep up with it because there's a lot of people doing real good doing tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
that's
as you can see.
Professional and keep it, you know, one set way. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, me, I throw everything on my channel. I don't have no set thing. It's kind of like me as a person. I'm very random. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one day I may do this and next minute I may do that. But, you know, I want to, you know, like I said, thank everyone for joining the show. Like I said, I will have a show next week. Yeah, I'll put on a show next week. I always try to put on a show weekly. I don't know the topic because I'm very random. Like I said, you can follow me on YouTube at The Advice Show TV, Twitter, and Facebook, The Advice Show. And I don't know if you follow my YouTube channel enough. Tomorrow and every Friday, I have Ratchet Video Weekly. Now, did you see your episode one of Ratchet Video Weekly?
I actually haven't, like, I've been doing finals, so.
Okay. You're behind. You got to see Ratchet Video Weekly Episode 1. Well, part 2, Episode 2 going to be a little bit more ratchet than the other one. Like I said, I'll release that tomorrow. Well, actually, I already made the video today, but I only want to release them every Friday to give somebody, you know, give people a little something to look forward to, you know, before the weekend go out. But, like I said, it's been a good show, and like I said, I learned a lot, and, you know, I feel, you know, anybody deal with mental, you know, health or anything, like I said, you know, get help, you know, seek help anywhere you can from your local church. You know, get all the information that you can. And, you know, that way, you know, you can help either yourself or a family member. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what we want. We want people to be good and be in, you know, good health and good spirits. But until next week, like I said, y'all, you know, stay easy, stay blessed, and I'll catch y'all next week.
All right.
All right.
For watching.
All righty.
Bye.